好，我们祷告。
Let's have a word of prayer.
天父，我们感谢你的恩典。
Heavenly Father, we thank you for your grace.
在旧约的人，他们只能够远远的来向神，来望见神的殿，来望见神的荣耀。
And in the Old Testament, people stand from afar to gaze upon God's glory and God's temple.
就是大祭司也是一年一次能够进入至圣所。
And even the high priest could only enter into the Holy of Holies once a year.
主，但我们感谢你，你已经来到地上，你把幔子撕裂，让我们今天可以借着耶稣基督的宝血，我们坦然无惧地来到你的施恩宝座前，来到至圣所。
Lord, we want to thank you for you have torn the veil apart, and so that through the precious blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, that we are able to enter into the Holy of Holies without fear.
主，我们感谢你为我们开了这个又新又活道路。
Lord, thank you for opening this new and living way for us.
求主你自己的荣美吸引我们来到你的面前。
And we pray that your glory, your beauty will draw us to you.
愿我们的敬拜蒙你的悦纳。
May you accept our worship.
也求主你吸引我们能够渴慕你自己的话语。
And you draw us so that we have this longing for your words.
祷告奉耶稣基督的名。
We pray this in the name of Lord Jesus.
Amen. 好，弟兄姐妹请坐。
Please sit.
我今天讲的题目是叫做以色列的怀胎的时期。
So today the title of my message today is called A Conception of Israel.
因为我讲到的时候是要准备的是要讲列王跟先知的信息。从去年我是准备这个题目。
And so actually when I was preparing for the message, I was going to share on the same theme that I've been sharing since last year, which is in regards to kings and the prophets.
那我就准备的时候，我就发现说有个灵感说，哎，其实那神带领我们的这个人呢，应该是从灵命开始小到大。那作王是代表属灵成熟，所以我就想说，以色列的这个成长的过程里面，应该像我们今天的属灵的一个人的成长。所以我就开始想说，以色列什么时候开始遇见了神呢
？And so I felt like, but all of a sudden I have a thought that our journey is kind of like a life maturing. And in terms of when we become kings, it's more like now you have become an adult, you're already mature. So I was wondering in the same way, the nation of Israel, when was it conceived? When did it start?
因为虽然旧约这么多本书，但旧约其实就讲一个国家以色列国，还有弥赛亚要来临的预言，就是旧约就总共这么多书信先知一大堆，就是指着这件事情而已。
So even though there are many books within the Old Testament, but it's surrounded only actually just follow one nation, which is the nation of Israel, and also the message of the Messiah's coming.
所以我就把以色列的这个历史呢，把它分成四个阶段来讲。所以我已经讲了两个阶段了，现在还有两个还没有讲。
And so I divided the history of the Israelites into four different eras, distinct eras, and I already share with you two of them, so I want to continue to share the remaining two.
好，我想我们今天所有的这些借着生命的延续的传承，都是从婴儿从出生然后慢慢长大，就是动物也好，人也好，其实都是这样子，但是呢，亚当是不一样的。
So as we know, most life just go through the same cycle, is that we start as a baby and then grow and mature eventually becoming an adult. So pretty much that's true for all life, including humans and animals, right? However, the only exception is Adam.
我们都知道，我们常问一个问题说，是先有鸡还是先有蛋的问题。
So we often ask this question, whether the chicken or the egg came first?
那还是两个都有呢？起初是什么样子呢？
Or...Do both of these things coexist at the same time? So what was it like in the very, very beginning?
你们觉得应该先有鸡还是先有蛋？
What do you think? Did the chicken come first or the egg come first?
先有鸡，而且这个鸡呢，一神造的时候呢，就已经是长成了，就已经是长成了。
So
不是一个小鸡的。
It should be a chicken because it had to come first. And so when God created the chicken, it's adult, fully grown chicken, and not a little chick.
我们为什么 会知道呢？是我们去推想，你看亚当呢，神造好以后，造好亚当，神就跟他说话，而且这个话是带有命令的。 带有他要去执行一个任务的，所以显然不会是一个小孩子。
So how do we know this? So we can kind of speculate this from based on Adam himself, because when Adam was created, God already started talking to him.
所以亚当呢，你看亚当可以把万物都带到他面前，所有动物，而且给他命名。这些动物呢是听他的命令的，他叫他从他前面经过，他就经过；叫他来，他就来。
And also, God started giving commands to Adam. So and also, when he was created, all the animals were brought before him, and Adam gave names to all of them, and he was able to command all the animals. And when he called them to come, the animals would come, and when he told them to go away, they would go.
好，所以我就是从这个四个是，因为神要我们的是要做王的生命，就王的生命那是神最后要，但是过程呢？是有不同的这个阶段，所以我就把以色列历史分成这样的四个阶段。我没有看过任何一本书讲这个这样子，所以我也许讲错了，也可能。如果你们觉得我讲错了，那就告诉我但是我认为是大致这样分是合理的我认为是合理的。
And so God wants us to have the life of a king, and for that we need to know how this path, how is this path of maturity should go.And so I've never heard this topic being shared before, so maybe I was wrong, but you could let me know afterwards.
好，我们先读两段的经文，一个是创世纪的十二章，大家都应该都很熟悉的第一节到第五节。
And so we'll read two passages from the Bible. So first one is from Genesis chapter 12, from verse 1 to 5. I'm sure all of you are very familiar with this.
中文开始。
Let's read in Chinese.
耶和华对亚伯兰说。你要离开本地本族父家，往我所要指示你的地去。我必叫你成为大国，我必赐福给你，叫你的名为大，你也要叫别人得福。为你祝福的，我必赐福与他；那咒诅你的，我必咒诅他。地上的万族都要因你得福。亚伯兰就照着耶和华的吩咐去了。罗德也和他同去。亚伯兰出哈兰的时候年75岁。亚伯兰将妻子撒来和侄儿罗德，连他们在哈兰所积蓄的财物、所得的人口都带往迦南地去。他们就到了迦南地。
Okay, so Genesis chapter 12, verse 1 through 5. Let's begin. Now the Lord said to Abram,Go forth from your country and from your relatives and from your father's house to the land which I will show you, and I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, and so you shall be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curse you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth will be blessed. So Abram went forth as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him.Now, Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. Abram took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his nephew, and all their possessions which they had accumulated, and the persons which they had acquired in Haran. And they set out for the land of Canaan. Thus, they came to the land of Canaan.
好，这段我就把它稍微 highlight 一下，稍微标记一下，就是第一个神对亚伯兰说呢，你要离开本地本族父家。往我所要指示你的地区，就是还不知道去哪里。
So I highlighted a few important verses here in the passage we just read. The first one is it says, The Lord said to Abram, Go forth from your country and from your relatives and from your father's house to the land which I will show you. So at this point, Abram doesn't even know where he's going.
然后第四节说，亚伯兰就照着耶和华的吩咐去了。
And then in verse 4 says, So Abram went forth as the Lord had spoken to him.
然后第五节说，他们就到了迦南地。
And verse 5 says, Thus they came to the land of Canaan.
我觉得这就是像这个开始的神跟亚伯兰的关系呢，神要建立以色列国呢，这时候就开始叫怀胎的开始。
So I think this is the point if we were to compare this to a life of a human, this is like the time of conception. This is when the nation of Israel started, when the Lord spoke to Abram.
就像保罗在加拉太书的第一章说呢，他说：“你在母腹的时候，我就分别你为圣。”
And so, just as Paul said, wrote in the book of Galatians, is that while you were still in your mother's womb, I have sanctified you.
然后大卫说呢，这个我还没有成形的时候，你就认识我了。
Or as David said, before I took shape, you already know me.
然后耶利米说呢，我还没有出母胎呢，你就选我做列国的先知了。
As Jeremiah said that before he was even born, you have chosen me to be the prophets of nations.
好，所以我们可以这样来看，就是亚伯拉罕是以色列的祖先啊，但是他什么时候开始呢？就是说他呼召，就吩咐他，他就照着神的话去，然后就到了迦南地。我想这时候呢，应该就是所谓的我们说以色列的啊开始。
And so Abraham was called the father of Israel. So when did that started? I think it started at this point when God called to him. He responded and left.
好，然后一直到他们到迦南地啊，不到那个埃及四百年。然后我们看这个出埃及记的第三章的十三节。
And so all the way until, so from that time on, all the way until the time of Egypt, when they left Egypt, which been 400 years. So let's read, turn to the book of Exodus.
好，我们一起读。摩西对神说，我到以色列人那里，对他们说，你们祖宗的神打发我到你们这里来。他们若问我说，他叫什么名字？我要对他们说什么呢？神对摩西说，我是自由拥有的。又说，你要对以色列人这样说，那自由的打发我到你们这里来。神又对摩西说，你要对以色列人这样说，耶和华你们祖宗的神，就是亚伯拉罕的神、以撒的神、雅各的神，打发我到你们这里来。耶和华是我的名，直到永永远远。这是我的纪念，直到万代。
Okay. So Exodus chapter 3, verse 14, and until verse 15, let's begin. Then Moses said to God, Behold, I'm going to the sons of Israel, and I will say to them, The God of your fathers has sent me to you. Now they may say to me, What is his name? And what shall I say to them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, Thus you shall say to the sons of Israel,I am has sent me to you. God furthermore said to Moses, Thus you shall say to the sons of Israel, The Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial name to all generations.
好，在圣经里面常看到说，神说，啊，我是亚伯拉罕的神、以撒的神、雅各的神。为什么神要这么复杂呢？为什么不说亚伯拉罕的神就好了呢？
So oftentimes in the Bible we see that God says that I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Why so complicated? Why can't he just say I'm the God of Abraham?
所以我刚刚讲的是说，在我们在母腹里面，啊，我们在胚胎成型，不管是植物、动物、人，它都有一个什么东西呢？现代人就知道了，方明姐妹是学这个的。就是什么基因，大家都知道基因，对不对
？So as we all know that when we're in the womb, before the fetus start taking shape, it all started with the basic element of life, which is DNA.
就是这个生命的特征，它已经在你还没有长出来，它已经在那个基因里面就成型在那里面。也就神的设计呢，在人都还没有开始，甚至还没有怀胎呢，神的基因设计就是这样子。为什么呢？亚伯拉罕的神、以撒的神、雅各的神，这是我们现在要认识的，叫基因的图谱啊，就是先记的这样子。
And so even before you become alive, it's your characteristics are all encoded in a DNA. And so in the same way how the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, how that started.
好，我现在先不要讲，因为怕时间不够，就是说这个。神讲这个话的时候呢，它有四个不同的意义。那因为这个，我先不要讲，有时间在后面我再讲。如果不够，今天就不讲这个东西。为什么有？为什么神要这样讲呢？亚伯拉罕的神、以撒的神、雅各的神，这是非常重要的一个。
So it's actually very important, but there are four meanings behind that. But due to time, I might not touch on those points today.
好，我现在先给你们看，这是什么图？大家应该都很知道，大家都知道这是哪里。
So this picture, I'm sure a lot of you know where this is.
方敏应该知道，就是。
Sister Fang Min knows probably knows where this is.
上海。
So this is Shanghai,
对不对？到街上去，我们今年就是跟景元去了上海。哇，上海真是伟大的城市。
So we went to Shanghai this year.
国际第一流的城市。
So yeah, it's very famous.
非常繁华，非常漂亮，也是这个是很建设非常好的一个城市。
It's a very beautiful city. It's
这是寓言，对不对？好，
所以
你如果看一个城市呢，你会先去逛一个景点，很漂亮，你是各个景点看看。但是呢，这样子对这个城市的认识有时候还是不够的。
So when you go to a brand new city, oftentimes we will go to the scenic sites and to check those places out. But that is not enough to get to know the city itself truly.
所以你就会到有的时候到高空去看一下这个整个城市，这个是从哪里看的呢？大家应该都知道，就是从浦东这边的，是不是？
So maybe you'll arrive at a very tall building to get an overview of the city. So this is a view from Pudong.
也就是说我们看一个东西呢，有的时候我们读圣经要从圣经的很细节去看它，但有的时候我们要从圣经的很远的地方来把整个给一个概括性的一个把它给总结起来一下，你怎么样子来分段，这是你读圣经一定要能够这样子，让你自己才能够真正的有得着。
And so in the same way, oftentimes when we read the Bible, oftentimes we're down to the nitty-gritty details, but oftentimes you have to step back and look at everything from a high level, get an overview.
我们今天有那个无人机，常常有无人机去拍照了，我们就觉得很漂亮啊，无人机拍照的那个景观，你都不用去看，就觉得那整个山啊。非常的壮观漂亮啊，类似的，你看圣经也是一样，你看一个森林啊，一个小处漂亮，但是你到更远的看的话，这整个圣经的结构架构会让你惊讶。
And so, in same way, how today we like to use drones to get us these high low like overview, top down shots of sceneries. In the same way that when we read the Bible, oftentimes we need to step back and get an overview from or view things from a high level, and you'll be amazed at how everything's come together.
好，我们知道旧约呢，我们都会啊分类，圣经学者把它分类成有摩西五经。
And so, as we know, the Old Testament can be divided into different books. So, first of all, we start that we have the five books of Moses, the Pentateuch.
那还有历史书的十二卷。
And then we have the 12 historical books.
然后还有智慧书呢，就是所谓的诗歌啊、箴言等等之类的啊。雅歌五卷。
The five volumes of poetry and wisdom books.
那么历史书呢，就是从约书亚开始啊，就是以色列的历史开始。然后先知书呢，就大小先知呢，十七卷。
And then, so the historical book started with book of Joshua. So there are 17 books of the prophets.
所以这样子的话，整个旧约呢，三十九卷，我们读大概都是这样读分类啊。我先读哪一卷，大概我们一看到圣经哪一卷，我们的概念是这样子的。
And so there, all in all, total there are 39 books total. So when we read the Bible, knowing which book we're reading, we have a rough idea which category that book belongs to.
但如果你把这个哪一本书哪一本书界限打破以后，你读整个圣经，你的感觉是什么呢？哦，圣经讲一个以色列一个国家。然后讲弥赛亚要来，就是你整个圣经把它打破这个三一本书呢，你就这样一个概念，就像高空来看一个东西一样。
But if you break break these books apart and read them in different orders, you'll get an overall view of the history of the Israelites, which is it's about the one nation, the nation of Israel, and also the second coming of Messiah. The coming of Messiah.
对对，我周五跟信望爱团契的弟兄姐妹查经，就查到。这个路加福音二十章正好那个撒都该人呢就来问耶稣一个问题，复活的问题，有没有复活？七个兄弟的娶那个妻子，那人有没有复活呢？就问耶稣这个问题。
And on Friday night's Bible study, we happened to be reading Luke chapter 20, and the Lord was asked about the question of resurrection.
然后呢，后来耶稣就说：“你们因为你们什么？你们错了，因为你们不明白圣经。”也不晓得神的大能，不明白圣经，所以不明白圣经什么意思呢？就是撒都该人只有读摩西五经的，其他不读的。
So, but God, so the such as they asked some question about resurrection, and then Lord Jesus answered them, "You are wrong. You don't know the books, and so that's why you misunderstood because you only read from the five books of Moses."
因为如果你读整个旧约的话，你看到有没有死人复活这个事呢？是有的，是有的，是不是？
So,
所以他们不读其他，只读摩西五经，这个叫做我们今天如果基督徒，我们不可以只读新约，我们不读旧约，也不可以说我今天喜欢读什么就打开，我们应该整本圣经有系统的来读。
So there are also recordings of people being resurrected in the Old Testament, but they were only reading from the five books of Moses. And so in the same way, today as Christians, we can't just read from the New Testament. We also need to read from the Old Testament to get an overview of everything.
好，那因为已经半年没有讲了，所以我想再把它复习一下。因为这个图让你们可以有个概念，我想要讲的以色列四个阶段，啊，这样子来纵览来看以色列啊，看整个旧约的话是会有帮助的。
And so it's been half a year since we talked about this, so I want to put this slide point here to give you an over review refresher of the four eras.
那你们记得我讲过哪两个
？The break of the history of Israel into.
讲过哪两个？记得吗
？So remember which one I talked about before?
就是啊，在旷野的这个时期。
So,
那旷野我把它归类为以色列的是孩童，是还在幼小的时候，还需要父母照顾的时候啊，这个阶段，他们出埃及就等于什么？出生了以色列。
So, I put the time that the Israelites spent in the wilderness as the time of childhood, as they're growing. So, when they left Egypt is when they were born, essentially.
啊，亚伯拉罕神呼召他的时候是跟他妻子出来，是不是？
So Abram, when God called to him, he left with his wife.
当雅各下埃及的时候，几个人？七十个人，对不对
？So when Jacob went to Egypt, there were 70 people.
然后神说呢，你的后代有四代呢，要在埃及受苦400年。
And then God said to them that four generations on for four generations you will be enslaved in Egypt and suffer there.
好，所以呢，从亚伯拉罕啊，然后一直到摩西带领他们出埃及之前这段时间，我把它归为叫做怀胎的时期，就是像还在妈妈的肚子里面还没长出来。
So from the time of Abraham to Moses, I call that the time of conception. It's still being formed in the mother's womb.
然后在旷野呢，神用什么呢？神用云柱、火柱带领他们。神给他们玛纳，神给他们水，神给他们鞋子呢都没有穿破。记不记得这些事情？所以就像你照顾一个小孩一样的妈妈，所以摩西像一个妈妈的一样的。
And so, and during time of in the wilderness, it's their childhood. So God took care of them as a mother took care of her child. So they were led by pillars of fire and smoke, and they have manna and the water, and even their shoes did not wear out during all these years.
然后摩西并没有进迦南，是约书亚进迦南，所以约书亚带领他们进到另外一个阶段，这个叫青少年阶段。因为你到约书亚记，你看看他们在迦南地呢。基本上是可以打仗的，是已经稍微长大了，但是他们呢还是不明白神的旨意，所以呢就出了很多错误，很多的这个非常可怕的事情都发生。其实我们年轻人的时候，我们青少年也做过很多不可告人的事情，就是我们也做过很多糗事。
So, Moses never entered into the land of Canaan, so it was Joshua who led the people into the land of Canaan.And by that time, you could see that so they have entered into teenage years. And so, they're already able to fight. But just like teenagers, they still made a lot of mistakes during that time.
好，那下来应该我要讲的就是列王记，就是照如果这样顺序啊，应该讲列王记。但我想，因为我还是要回到所谓的怀胎时期，所以我就回到啊，有点顺序有点乱掉了，所以要回到第一个。
So chronologically, I should be talking about the time of the kings, which is the adulthood. But I want to go back to the time to talk about the era of conception.
好，所以就大概是啊，让你们再一个复习一下，因为有半年没有讲，你们大概都忘记了。
So that's just a quick review because it's been half a year since we talked about this.
好，那我们就知道做王代表什么呢？代表生命成熟了，神可以让你。做王掌权的时候呢，神这时候是相信你的生命已经成熟了，经历过很多的啊，已经明白神的旨意。这是啊，列王记，我想王神的托付是这样子，神要看，神开始评价你这个人怎么做王。
And so as we all know, when you become king, it means that it represents that your life has matured to a point where God trusts you. If you feel like you can make your own decisions.
好，那我想我们这个都讲过了，好。啊，这个讲过了，这个也讲过了。好，做王还没讲，这个还没讲。好，今天我们要讲的就是啊，这个第十三章。好， 好，今天我们要讲的就是这个怀胎的时期的从亚伯拉罕到摩西大概有600年的时间。
So from the time of Abraham to Moses, the time lapse about there are about 600 years of time between these two.
所以我们刚才讲，在一个怀胎的时期，在神的创造里面呢，它应该是什么？它里面一定有很多的线索在里面。这个生命的长成呢，是什么样子的东西？它一定有基因在里面的。所以我们从基因可以知道这个生命会长到什么样子。
And so even before even before conception, there were lots of clues. There's like a lot of things are encoded in the DNA already, for example.
所以如果你去看从亚伯拉罕一直到摩西，圣经记载最多的是什么呢？就是以撒、雅各、约瑟，是吧？就整个圣经创世纪来讲，就是这些东西记载。那表示那个我们要找的信息基因应该就在这个地方。
And so if you recall during those time,The most the Bible talked about during those time about stories of Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph. So that means that these are clues. These are that we could learn from.
因为你到出埃及记的时候呢，摩西的任务是要把以色列人带出埃及的。So, 他没有记载他们在埃及400年怎么受苦难，神没有记载。但是神却记载在创世纪那200年，在亚伯拉罕往后的200年，记载了他们。四个这个世代的这些个这个人物，非常详尽的记载他们的生活，他们的一生，所以表示说我们要找的线索应该就在这个地方。
And so if you recall, the Bible didn't actually record a lot of things that happened in the 400 years when the Israelites were in slavery, but he started talking about more in time of Joseph. And so from that we know that.This is a clue to us that we need to learn from these different people.
好，我们读圣经呢有很多种读法你可以有这个 devotion， 就是早上起来我就是这一节经文这两节，我是花个15分钟来默想，这是一个方法。
So there are many ways to read the Bible. One way would be doing devotions. For example, you spend 15 minutes reading a scripture and then just kind of meditate and think about what you read.
然后你也可以一天花半个钟头，我就是照一年的进度，我今天就读这两章的旧约，那么一章的新约，我就是这样读每天就这样读，也是一个方法。
Or you could decide that I'll spend half an hour each day and read two chapters from the Old Testament, two chapters from the New Testament, and then that way you could finish reading the Bible in one year.
那或者呢，你可以一本书一本书来读，我把这本书精读，我这个月就读这本书。把这本书读了很多次，我找很多参考书来读，我把这个书的重点内容呢，我把它做个笔记，我把这本书呢精读，这是另外一个方法。
Or you could take a deep dive every month into a single book, and so you'll read that book over and over in the month, and you look up references and all those things to truly really read into that particular book for that month.
或者我就找一个题目，我把这个题目所要找的圣经的经文呢、有关的，我把它找出来，我把它像他讲到一样，我准备这个信息，就是我要找的题目呢定了，然后我把这个相关的资料呢，圣经里面把它找出来，这是另外一个方法。
Or you could go by themes. Is there a particular theme that you're interested in? You would look into the Bible, look at all the different.Pages, different chapters, and look for things that talk that's related to the theme that you want to understand.
还有圣经有很多人物，圣经基本上是人物很多。那我把每一个人物呢读一读然后把它稍微归类一下，这也是一个方法。把人物，圣经一大堆人物太多了，你只要把圣经这些人物你都熟悉，而且知道他们的一生的话，其实你对圣经已经很熟了。
And then also another way would be people, there are so many characters being mentioned in the Bible. You could pick one and then really learn about that person's life throughout the Bible. And because there are so many of them, so if you've really gone through all of them, you have also familiarized yourself with the Bible.
所以我们今天要讲的三个人物呢，就是亚伯拉罕、以撒、雅各他们是一组。为什么一组呢？因为他们的生命要比较。因为有时候如果不把一个几个人放在一起呢，你不能够明白真理。可是你把它放在一起呢，你对真理就非常明白了。
And so today we'll look into the life of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob because they're all put together. And so we could compare contrast with their life and to get a better understanding.
然后我们接下来做王的时候，我们讲了三个王，都是做四十年，都是做王四十年。圣经很奇怪，扫罗王、大卫王、所罗门王，他们都做王四十年。为什么这样子呢？圣经要让我们来把三个人放在一起来比，到底这三个人有什么差别？他们生命有什么差别呢？
And then for kings, we'll look into King Saul, David, and Solomon, and so very interestingly, they each rule for 40 years.
到新约你就看到新约的书信基本上是保罗还有彼得，好像写的不多啊，但是保罗、彼得、约翰这三个人是新约里面最重要的使徒。那这三个人有什么差异呢？我们把它放在一起读，你就会学到一些啊不一样。
And then in the New Testament, we have Paul, Peter, and John. So these are three of the most important disciples in the New Testament. So by looking at their life, we could also learn a lot.
像我们刚刚讲到摩西、约书亚、撒母耳这三个人呢，是把以色列从四个不同阶段呢带到下一个阶段，他们是最重要的一个人物，把他带入到一个新的阶段。
And in the Old Testament, we have Moses, Joshua, and Samuel. So all three of them led the Israelites into different phases in history.
摩西呢是把以色列从埃及在怀胎的时期呢带进到什么婴儿时期？所以摩西是改变这个时代的时候，他是这个领袖。
So Moses led the people out of Egypt. So he kind of led the people through the conception phase.
然后约书亚呢？约书亚是把以色列从孩童的时期进入到青少年，进入到迦南地，所以约书亚是做这样一个工作啊，他都是非常重要的。
So Joshua led the people out, so out of the childhood phase into teenage phase.
然后撒母耳是把以色列从士师记的时代进入到什么王的时代，列王的时代啊，他是。一个时代改变的人物，一个时代改变的时候，神要找一个领袖，要找一个仆人来做这样工作。因为呢，因为像这个摩西，神就没有让他进入到啊应许之地，是兴起下一代的领袖约书亚。所以神在不同的事工呢，啊是这个样子的安排的。
And so Samuel led the people from the time of era of judges into era of kings. And so for each phase, it's very distinct, and God did not allow the previous person to enter into the next phase.
那你看彼得、保罗跟约翰，他们三个是不同的职事、不同的分工的。你要叫彼得去建造教会，他没有这个能力啊，必须要是保罗这样的人。为什么呢？你就要看他怎么样成长，他的这个。所以神使用每一个人，只是用他。在某一个时期或某一个恩赐啊，这是我们看圣经可以看得到的。
So God used different people based on the gifts that they have. And so, for example, in New Testament time, between Paul, Peter, and John, they each have their specialties, if you will. So, for example, it's hard to imagine if you ask Peter to build a church because that's not his thing. So it's more of Paul's gift.
Okay. 好，这个上次我讲过了，所以我就不太讲，稍微给你们复习一下，就是。你看到一个种子很小，但是这个种子呢是可以来看出它里面的基因呢，就知道它将来长成什么样子，是水果呢，酸的还是甜的，是树多大，它是从很小很小种子，它的基因就在里面。
And so we shared about this last time. So for example, the example of a seed, all its characteristic, how it will be once it's grown, all encoded inside that DNA. Whether it's going to be a sweet fruit or a sour fruit, whether it's going to be a tall tree or small plant.It's all in there from that very small seed.
Okay, 亚伯拉罕，我们上一次已经讲过了亚伯拉罕的这个啊，好，就是我们上次已经讲过这一章，我稍微复习一下而已。就是亚伯拉罕是信心之父，亚伯拉罕在圣经里面是大家都知道他是信心之父，因信称义啊，是从亚伯拉罕开始的。
So as we all know, Abraham was called the father of faith. So the saying is that justification by faith started with him.
那我问你们一个问题，信心可不可以看见？可不可以看到信心
？Let me ask you this: Can you see faith?
不可以，可以。
So some say yes.
你们坐在这里，我可以看到谁的信心大吗
？So if we're just all sitting here, can you tell who has a bigger faith?
但信心是可不可以看得到？可以的。
But can you see faith? Yes.
耶稣在那个摊子，马可福音第二章里面，那个摊子不是有四个人朋友带他来吗？ 圣经怎么说呢？二章五节，马可说，耶稣见他们的信心，见他们的信心。
So yes, you could actually see. So for example, in the example of the person who was lame, in Mark chapter 2 verse 5, he said, Lord Jesus seeing them that they saw that their faith was great.
然后就说，小子啊，你的罪赦免。记不记得这个事情？所以耶稣看见他们的信心，所以信心是可以看到的。
And so,
因为他们有行动嘛，他们从这个门进不了，他们从屋顶爬下来，这是多大的信心呢、啊、
？And so he said to them, "Your sin has been forgiven," because he saw how great their faith was. Because they couldn't get to him, and so they actually climbed the roof, and tear apart the roof tiles in order to lower the man into the house to see Jesus.
那我们知道亚伯拉罕的信心在哪里？最大的啊、显现他的信心很大在哪里呢？献以撒，对对，
so,
献以撒。你看，这最爱的儿子，神要把他献上。
And so where do we see Abraham his faith? Where he's shown his greatest faith is when he's offered up, he sacrificed his own son Isaac to God.
所以信心呢是可以看见的。你的生活当中呢是可以看，别人可以看出来，神也可以看出来的。
So faith can be seen in your life, and other people could see it, and certainly God could see it.
好，我们讲到亚伯拉罕的信心显明在哪里呢
？And where can we see the faith of Abraham being shown？
除了刚刚我们讲的献以撒之外，他的生活当中呢是筑坛献祭，筑坛是他的日常生活的一个特色，所以他的信心显在什么呢？在当地都是拜偶像的时候呢，亚伯拉罕敬拜这个神。
And so besides offering up Isaac as a sign of his faith, oftentimes we can see this from Abraham building of altars. So in a land where people worship false idols, him building altars, building various altars really stood out.
好，那个四个我们上次讲过了，一个感恩的，一个是求告，一个是与神团契，另外一个是奉献献以撒，这个我们就不再讲了。
And so last time we touched on all four of these altars that he built. One is for to offering of thanksgiving. The other one is call upon the name of the Lord. Third is worship and fellowship with God. And fourth is the serving of God. So we talked about last time. We won't go over it this time.
好，那上次我们讲完以后呢，没有时间讲一些应用。那今天我们要问一个问题了，什么是我们？筑坛献祭信心的生活呢，就对我们今天来讲，我们当然不能再像亚伯拉罕一样在院子里面做一个坛献祭，那我们今天呢在属灵里面应该什么样子才是信心的生活呢？
So in terms of application, how do we live a life of building altars and sacrifices? Of course, surely we can't build altars in our backyard nowadays.
大家想想看是什么呢？
Think about this. How do we live our life exhibits the life of building an altar and offering sacrifice.
好，我不知道你们有没有听过叫家庭祭坛。
So have you ever heard family altar?
啊，我们在 39er 的时候，我们以前在我们39岁的时候，那个时候我们小孩小的时候。
And so when we were around back when we were younger, around 39, fellowship.
当我们三四十岁那个时候，我们的孩子呢，我们团契里面呢。有一个鼓励大家，而且大家都是去操练，叫做家庭祭坛。
And so, in our fellowship at the time, we encourage everyone to build a family altar.
简单来讲就是说这样，就是我们一周呢一次或两次，把孩子、大人都在一起，我们就安静时间大概有十五到半个钟头，我们就读经，我们祷告，我们唱诗歌，就是这段时间呢，就是来安静的来敬拜神。
And so what that means is that we find once or twice each week where the whole family comes together. We spend about 15 to 30 minutes. We read scriptures, sing hymns.
然后我们在 VBS 的时候有一个叫什么？就是小孩来的时候都问他们一个问题，叫什么 ？Sighting God.
Another example.
God sighting 就是你今天看到什么是神在你的生活里面。
Another application would be, like during VBS, we have this concept called God sighting, which is we share about where have you seen God today?
啊，孩子都会讲很多这个很单纯，他就很单纯，他就说今天哥哥或姐姐什么帮他啊，帮他一个忙，帮他做一个什么家事，或者是什么什么，他就觉得啊，神使用他的家里的兄弟姐妹来帮助他。
And so these kids, they're very pure and innocent. So they give these great examples of how, oh, today my brother or sister helped me with certain things. So they see these things around them and see God.
第二个叫不可停止聚会，这是圣经明明说的。
And so secondly, is that also in the Bible, it's very specific. It says that we shall not forsake our own assembling together.
如果你们在教会久一点的话，你又记得一个人叫 Jasper 的 grandma， 记不记得？你们大家就知道 Jasper 的他的祖母礼拜天来聚会。
And so for those of you who've been here for a long time, if you remember, brother Jasper's grandma.
其实他耳朵听不见的。
So even though she's deaf in her ear,
就是他耳朵听力已经不好了，他讲什么他自己都不知道。
So she couldn't quite hear what the message is.
可是他主日一定要来。
But yet she still comes.
换句话说，我们今天来敬拜神，不是说哎呀这个人讲到今天讲的好不好，哎呀你们喜欢讲了我不来听讲不好，或者说这个谁谁弟兄我看到他我不喜欢他我不来，就是我们如果这样的话，我们没办法真正敬拜。我们真正敬拜神，我心中有神，我就敬拜神。我什么都听不到，我还是来。就是我看到 Jasper 的 grandma， 他是这样态度。
So we
快一百岁的人，九十几岁，快一百岁，他主日来就坐在后面，他就什么听不到，他就在那敬拜神。
So we come to church not for the people but for God. So we don't come because we don't decide whether we come today or not depending on that certain preacher or I don't like or I like that person or there's a pretty good brother in the church that I don't like seeing, so I'm not coming today. We don't base that on that. We come here to worship God. So our brother Jasper's grandma, she was like 100, and even when she couldn't hear the message clearly in her ear, she still came to worship.
其实我们敬拜神不是来看环境，也不会看我们方便，而是把神摆第一位，摆在最重要的位置上。我其他事没有比这更重要。当你有这样心的时候，就是亚伯拉罕向主坛献祭，你的心中敬拜神是第一位的。你不是看，哎呀，这个信息好不好，这个诗歌唱的我不喜欢，这些都不重要。你是神是第一位。
So we came to worship God not because of our convenience, not because of our surroundings, but rather it's because we want to come to worship our God. And that is the essence of building an altar, is to put God as the first.
我看那个 Hutchinson 这些年长的都是八十几九十几的，他们还来教会，他们是不容易坐得住两个钟头的，但他们还是来的。所以就是我们来这边，我们尽力来这边，虽然我们体力不好，也许打个瞌睡，其实不是那么重要。就最重要的是我的心，我的身体体力不好，我就听不到啊，我就坐不住啊。其实神都知道，都不是很重要。
Another example, we saw that the elderly brothers and sisters from the Hutchinson Retirement Center, they came, that they're in their 80s or 90s. A lot of them can't sit for too long of a time, or some may fall asleep during the message. But it's that heart that I want to be here.To worship God.
吉平的祖母这个岳父也九十几岁了，他95了。你看他走路不是很方便，每个主日他就来，这个就是神是看重我们的心的。
Or like Jiping's father-in-law, he might not be mobile in his feet, but yet he still came.
好，就是我把上一次亚伯拉罕的这个事呢，稍微再补充一下，让我们在生活当中，我们不是只有听到亚伯拉罕的信心，那我们的信心在哪里呢？今天你是可以操练的。
And so that's just some example of how application examples of Abraham's faith.
好，我们今天要讲的第二个就是这个是以撒的这个故事。因为我们刚才讲这三个人，我们第二个人以撒，以撒是跟亚伯兰是完全不一样。你看他的一生是完全不一样的。
So the second person we want to share from this this three person group is life of Isaac. So you can tell he is completely different.Than Abraham.
好，我们看创世纪的二十六章的第六节开始。
So Genesis chapter 26 verse 6.
好，我们开始念。当他父亲亚伯拉罕在第一节，以撒在就住在基拉尔。当他父亲亚伯拉罕在世之日，所挖的水井，因非利士人在亚伯拉罕死后塞住了，以撒就重新挖出来。他父亲所叫的叫那些井的名字。以撒的仆人在谷中挖井，便得了一口活水井。 基拉尔的牧人与以撒的牧人争竞，说这水是我们的。以撒就给那井起名叫埃瑟，就是相争的意思，因为他们和他相争。以撒的仆人又挖了一口井，他们又为这井争竞，因此以撒给这井起名叫西提拿，就是为敌的意思。
So let's turn to chapter 26, verse 6. So Isaac lived in Gerar. Then Isaac dug again the wells of water which had been dug in the days of his father Abraham. For the Philistines had stopped them up after the death of Abraham, and he gave them the same names which his father had given them. But when Isaac's servant dug in the valley and found there a well of flowing water, the herdsmen of Gerar quarreled with the herdsmen of Isaac, saying, "The water is ours." So he named the well Esek, because they contended with him. Then they dug another well, and they quarreled over it too. So he named it Sitna.
好，所以如果看以撒的故事的话，他大概最大的一个工作，以撒最大的成就是什么？挖井。连他娶老婆都是谁帮他娶的？记不记得？都不是他自己去娶，他根本都没有去。连他娶老婆都是他的老爸叫他仆人带了一大堆金银，然后到很远的地方去，他自己根本都没有去。
And so it seems like from this passage, it seems like the greatest work of Isaac in his life is digging up wells, because that's all he does. So even in taking on his wife, taking up a wife was not his own doing, but his dad sending a servant with loads of gold going to a very far distance place to search for a wife for him.
好，我们再看下一个是，啊，往下再看，好，二十二节这里，好，以撒离开那里，又挖了一口井，他们不为这井争竞了。他就给那井起名叫何利伯，就是宽阔的意思。他说：“耶和华现在给我们宽阔之地，我们必在这地昌盛。”以撒从那里上别示巴去。当夜，耶和华向他显现说：“我是你父亲亚伯拉罕的神，不要惧怕，因为我与你同在，要赐福给你。”并要为我仆人亚伯拉罕的缘故，使你的后裔繁多。以撒就在那里筑了一座坛，求告耶和华的名，并且支搭帐篷。他的仆人便在那里挖了一口井。那一天，以撒的仆人来，将事告诉他说：“我们得水了。”
Okay, continue on.Verse 22, he moved away from there and dug another well, and they did not quarrel over it. So he named it Rehoboth, for he said, "At last, the Lord has made room for us, and we will be fruitful in the land." Then he went up from there to Beersheba. The Lord appeared to him the same night and said, "I am the God of your father Abraham. Do not fear, for I am with you. I will bless you and multiply your descendants for the sake of my servant Abraham."So he built an altar there and called upon the name of the Lord and pitched his tent there. And there Isaac's servants dug a well by the altar. And now it came about on the same day that Isaac's servant came in and told him about the well which they had dug and said to him, "We have found water."
好，所以如果我们看以撒的一生的话，他其实没有做什么大事，而且他是一个很软弱的人，人家跟他相争。他就把东西给人家了，人家这个要抢他东西，他连一个去抵挡都没有，就让给人家了。
So from these passages we could tell that Isaac hasn't done anything great per se. All he done most of his life was just digging up wells. And also, personality wise, character he's a very meek person. So when people contended with him, fought for his trying to take over his well.All he did, he didn't even put out fight. He just gave up and went somewhere else.
当亚伯拉要把他献祭的时候呢，他知道不知道献祭什么意思呢？
And so when Abraham wanted to sacrifice Isaac to God, does everyone know what that means?
他知道了，因为他问说羔羊在哪里，他有没有问过这个问题？
Oh, sorry. So when Abraham was offering Isaac a sacrifice, Isaac knew the meaning of sacrifice because he was asking, where was the sacrificial lamb?
所以当亚伯拉罕要把他绑在祭坛上的时候呢，他一定知道的。他放在祭坛上，他已经知道什么意义。他有没有逃掉呢？有没有跑呢？没有。
So,
以撒连逃都没有，他就顺服。所以以撒一个特色什么？他是很顺服。
So when his father placed him on the altar and tied him up, Isaac must have known in his heart what's about to happen, what the meaning of this is. But yet, he did not try to escape. So that's the overall theme of the life of Isaac. He's a very obedient person.
So he 对这个井的命名也是很有意思的。他命名是相争为敌。
And so, and even in the naming of these wells, it's very interesting because he named them to mean to contend over or to be opposition, to be enemies of.
要我们人都去看的话，就是这个很软弱，根本就把想把它忘记这件事情的。但以撒却命名为相争为敌。
And so from this we could tell that he's a very meek person. From our perspective, we would have want to forget about the whole thing, all right? But yet, he actually named the wells after these events.
所以他前面两个井呢，他都让给人家了。
And so for the first two wells that his servant dug, he gave up to the others, to the sheep herders.
我们要知道，在迦南地那地方，要得到一口井水。是很不容易的，不是那么简单说，好像一下就可以得到井水。第一个地点要对，你不对的话，打到下可能是没有水的。所以这是很大辛苦的工作才得到一个井水，人家要就给他。你说这个人是不是很傻
？And so as we know that in the land of Canaan, wells are not easy to come by. So you know you need to be digging in the right place in the right depth to reach water. So it's very precious, but yet.People want to fight for it, and he just gave up those the well.
因为基拉尔这个地方呢是腓力士人的控制的啊，是腓力士人，所以以撒就没有跟他们争，因为他就让给他们了。
Because in the land of Gerar, the Philistines were in control. So when they wanted those wells, Isaac didn't fight for it.
然后再来呢，他就到离开那里，到一个地方呢，就挖了一个井，这个就是神给他的。哎，这时候没有人来争了。宽阔，他就英文叫 fruitful 啊，英文就是说这地方就开始让他啊，这个以撒就开始丰富起来了。
Mm-hmm. So and then so he moved on to another place and dug another well. And this time people didn't fall over, they didn't want to take the well from him. And so Isaac named it Rehoboth, which means it's fruitful in the land.
然后再来，他就到啊别示巴，然后在那里筑了一座坛。在坛的附近呢，挖了一口井。
And afterwards, he went to Beersheba, and next to it, he built an altar.
好，那我们知道圣经里面讲的水呢，其实它是代表一个什么呢？耶稣，我们看耶稣怎么样子来跟这个撒玛利亚妇人。好，我们这个故事大家也都很熟悉，我们稍微念一下好了。
So, and when we talk about water, we know that it has special meaning. So let's turn to John.
开始念啊。
Chapter four.
于是到了撒玛利亚的一座城，名叫叙加，靠近雅各给他儿子约瑟的那块地，在那里有雅各井。耶稣因走路困乏，就坐在井旁。那时约有五正，有一个撒玛利亚妇人来打水。耶稣对他说：“请你给我水喝。”撒玛利亚妇人对他说：“你既是犹太人。”怎么像我一个撒玛利亚妇人要水？原来。
So John chapter 4 verse 5 through 9, let's begin. So he came to the city of Samaria called Sychar, near the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. And Jacob's well was there. So Jesus, being wearied from his journey, was sitting thus by the well. It was about the sixth hour.There came a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." Therefore, the Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, being a Jew, ask me for a drink since I'm a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans."
好，因为撒玛利亚这个时候是怎么样呢？他们 王给亚述帝国的时候，北国王给亚述帝国的时候，亚述把他们的外邦的亚述的老百姓呢，就不同种族的就搬到撒玛利亚来的，所以撒玛利亚变成混杂的、不纯的。所以犹太人呢、以色列人呢是不跟他们打交道的，因为他们是不纯的，所以才会有这个故事，就以色列人、犹太人跟撒玛利亚是没有来往的。
So at the time the city of Samaria was fought over, at the time of when Joseph led the people into the land, and so it was contended with, and there's a lot of history back there. But anyhow, in this city, there was a mixed population, and yet the Jews and the Samaritans do not mix. They have no dealings with each other.
好，那我们接着念第十节。耶稣回答说：“你若知道神的恩赐和对你说给我水喝的是谁，你必早求他，他也必早给了你活水。”妇人说：“先生，没有打水的器具，井又深。”你从哪里得活水呢？我们的祖宗雅各将这井留给我们，他自己和儿子并牲畜也都喝这井里的水，难道你比他还大吗？耶稣回答说：凡喝这水的还要再渴，喝我所赐的水就永远不渴，我所赐的水要在他里头成为泉源，直涌到永生。
Verse 10 to 14, Jesus answered and said to her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is who says this to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." She said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where then do you get that living water? You are not greater than our father Jacob, are you? Who gave us the well and drank of it himself and his sons and his cattle?" Jesus answered and said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him shall never thirst. But the water that I will give him will become in him a well of water springing up to eternal life."
好，所以这里的井预表就是我们里面啊，虽然外面的井去挖井，但是其实是属灵里面预表我们这个人的里面啊，我们的心呢有很多的污秽，很多的心被很多东西占住了。被挤压了，所以神借着雅各这以撒呢挖井，就是预表我们这个人里面的心的污秽要除去。
And so using Isaac digging up a well as an example, God's trying to tell us that because we have so much impurity inside of our heart that it need to be dug out for the water to come out.
我们常会问一个问题，圣经说我们要被称为圣洁，我们常认为说我们这个人怎么可能圣洁呢？我们会有这样子的矛盾的心理。
And so oftentimes the Bible says that we need to be sanctified and holy. And so we often ask ourselves, how could we be holy?
圣经说神的旨意要我们怎么样成为圣洁，这是圣经的话，神不会错的。但是我们看我们自己就常觉得什么，我们怎么可能圣洁呢？这是一个矛盾，对不对？
So the Bible says God wants us to be holy. So, and the Bible is never wrong. But we look at ourselves like, how could we be holy?
所以我们有些人就认为说，那我既然不能成为圣洁，他就无所谓了。这是一个错误的，好像认为我不行啊。那我不行，我犯罪是不应该的。是圣经告诉我们的，说神的旨意要我们成为圣洁，是神要做的。那怎么做呢？不是我自己，是靠圣灵在我们身上。那圣灵在我们身上做工，我们人要做什么呢？顺服是最重要的，顺服。你不顺服的话，你是不可。但是你愿意顺服的话，圣灵会带领你。就是你只要做就顺服。你听到圣灵的声音呢，顺服。这是以撒让我们看见的。
And sometimes people thinking that I could never be holy, so I might just give up and just keep on sinning. But that's not great because God said that we are to be holy and we need to do that. And the key is to be obedient to Him.
好，这是井，你看井很深的，井是非常深的，所以要挖一口井是不容易的。
And so you could take a look at this example of a well. It's very deep, so it's quite a challenge to dig a well.
好，那以撒以前的这个挖井，我们今天还会这样吗？我们今天没有啊，我们没有挖井。那我们到底这个怎么样应用到我们的生活呢？什么是我们要挖井得到活水，成为圣洁的生活表现呢？我们要怎么样去操练呢？
So since we no longer need to dig a well, so what is life in which we dig wells and have living water to be sanctified? What does it mean?
举两个例子,
so two examples.
好, 第一个, 马太福音5章38节, 耶稣说, 你们听见有话说, 以眼还眼, 以牙还牙, 只是我告诉你们, 不要与恶人作对, 不要与恶人作对。 有人打你的右脸, 连左脸也转过来由他打。 有人想要告你, 要拿你的礼衣, 连外衣也由他拿去。 有人强逼你走一里路, 你就同他走二里。
So, Matthew chapter 5, verse 38. You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, do not resist an evil person, but whoever slaps you on your right cheek, turn the other to him also. If anyone wants to sue you and take your shirt, let him have your coat also. Whoever forces you to go 1 mile, go with him too.
好, 这个人打你右脸, 有没有道理? 是没有道理的。 圣经说恶人, 他是耶稣不是说吗? 我是告诉你们, 不要与恶人作对。 所以当恶人打你右脸的时候, 他是没有道理的。 那你照讲应该是可以回击的。 但是耶稣说什么? 连左脸也转过去由他打。
So when an evil person strikes you on your left cheek, it's baseless. There's no reason, no cause for it. So, but Jesus said that turn the other cheek as well.
我的这个我妹妹的一个儿子，我的外甥呢，他来美国的时候，我就带他来教会。他说哦，他说我们班上高中有个同学，我们都叫他耶稣，我们就常打他的右脸，然后跟他讲说你左脸转过来让我们打。 他不知道圣经，但他知道这些经文。你看到没有？这小孩子就会作怪。他就是，你们圣经不是说吗？打你的右脸，转过来打右左脸了，就是他开始就取笑他们同学，每次跟他恶作剧。
And so many years ago, my sister sent my nephew, when they came over, when he heard this story, he said, "Oh yeah, we had a kid in our class. We call him Jesus because we often slap him on his left cheek and ask him, why, hey, how come you're not turning your other cheek for us to slap?" So from this you can tell, that even kids when they don't know anything else, but at least they have heard of this passage.
所以我们信耶稣的人在这个地上也会说也会碰到类似这样子。那他这边说走一里路，为什么呢？因为当时罗马帝国的时代呢，罗马是有权利要求他的士兵，让他的士兵要求走路的时候看到抓一个人过来，以色列人过来，就叫他帮他背东西走一里路，是可以的，但不能走两里，只能最多走到一里。耶稣说你还可以帮他走一里，走两里。
And then the last verse where it says, whoever forces you to go 1 mile, go with him too. So the historical background for this is that back in the day, the Roman Empire had this rule is that when their soldiers are marching on the main highways, they could grab any Israelite and force them to carry their heavy loads for them. But the limitation is you can only force this person to walk 1 mile with you and not two. But Jesus here said that, hey, if they're forcing you to go 1 mile, go two with them.
所以这是讲到这个圣经告诉我们说，我们在世人面前的见证是这样子。So
the Bible tells us this is our testimony to the world.
那我也听过说这个有基督徒就是年长的姐妹，她被人家用车脚踏车还是什么的撞了，然后呢？ 他就起来，然后对方还很担心，说要赔多少钱。他说不用，就是我们可以看到的，现在很多人就利用这个机会，可能敲诈你钱，但他在神面前，活在神面前，他是这样子，就我们是活在神面前。So
I also heard of a story of an elderly sister who was knocked over by someone on a bicycle, and then when she got up, the other person was so worried that she's gonna. That he's gonna have to pay her hospital bills and all those sort of things. And then, but she says no, I'm fine. So if it was another person, if it was someone else, they probably would have tried to get all the money they could out of that person who knocked them down. But as Christians, we want to set a good example to the world.
好，这边说不要与恶人作对，所以我们要我想举一个例子给你们看。
So here it says, do not be go against an evil person.
圣经有讲到什么?
Do not resist an evil person.
什么智慧的人啊, 什么这个恶人啊, 还有什么愚顽的人呢、啊？圣经很多这样的人，对不对
？And so in the Bible, it mentions different type of people. You have wise person, you have foolish person, you have evil person.
那我们知道圣经有个很有名的故事，就是什么是智慧的人呢？把那房子建在哪里？
So,
磐石上，坚固的磐石上，对不对？
So、
愚拙人是把房子建在哪里？沙滩上。就是智慧跟愚拙，当然我们小孩子都会唱这种歌了，所以应该就知道。
So,
就是智慧跟愚拙，我们比较容易明白。
So this is very famous story, even little kids know about it, about the wise man and the foolish man, where they chose to build their homes. The wise man chose to build his house on solid rock, and then the foolish man built his house on sandy ground.
那什么是恶人跟愚蠢的人呢？这好像不太能够明白。有一次我就真的明白了。有一次我看到这个景象，我忽然间明白过来，什么是恶人跟愚顽的人。
And so, but what about wicked man or evil person? So, I once encountered I once had this encounter where it all of a sudden made sense in my head.
就是恶人就是 wicked， 那愚人就是愚拙人就是 foolish 啊。这两个人，我有一天突然间在高速公路上，我明白过来，什么是愚蠢，什么是愚蠢的人。
Oh, sorry. So what's the difference between wicked and foolish person? So one time I was driving on the freeway, and all of a sudden that a light bulb light up in my head, and I realized this.
有一次我跟我太太开车要去 Portland, Oregon, 在 I-5 的公路上。
And so one time I was driving with my wife from Portland to Oregon.
然后那个高速公路呢，没有什么车子，我们前面就没有什么车子。
And so the freeway was relatively free of other cars, so there weren't that many cars in front of us.
就是可能是周末还是清早啊，忘记了，就是基本上没什么车子啊。突然间后面有两部车很快冲过来。
And so I forgot whether it was because like it was early in the morning or whether it was on the weekend. But either way, the freeway was relatively clear. So and all of a sudden there were these two cars just speeding up towards us.
那这两部车呢？前面那部车呢？就是一直换来车道，就是把后面的车子卡住，不让它通过。
And then the first car constantly weaving in and out of the different lanes, between the lanes, just so that they could block the car behind them, so that the car behind them doesn't overtake them.
所以显然他们在之后，在我们的后面应该是很久时间，就是两个人可能有什么恩怨，可能前面那部车被后面人挡到了，他就很生气，就开到前面去挡后面车子，可能类似这样，我们不晓得。但是就看到这两部车呢，就是一直换车道弄来弄去，前面呢就不让后面的过，后面就想要一直在冲过，就是这个情景。
So clearly something happened between the drivers of these two cars that happened behind us. We didn't know, but something's up between them two. And so the front car constantly trying to block the rear car from overtaking them.
然后突然间远远我们看到两部车撞在一起，一部往这边冲，一部往那边冲，一部往栏杆，一部往右边，两部车就这样子撞在一起了。
And all of a sudden, we saw that ahead of us that the two cars collided, and then they each ended up on the different side of the freeway.
那你们看哪一个是恶人？
So, which one's the evil one?
前面那个是恶人，对不对？前面那个是挡住，后面那个是什么？是个愚拙的人。你为什么要跟恶人在那边作对呢？
So we could tell that clearly the lead car was the evil person because he's preventing the car behind from overtaking him. But then.Also, that means that the rear car was a foolish person because why are you trying to resist the evil person?
就是如果你碰到一个恶人这样子，你干嘛跟他在一起？你就躲开不就好了吗？
Because if you encounter an evil person like this, why do you want to be close to that person? Why don't you just stay back and just let him get speed up and out of your way?
你为什么要跟他争道理呢？
Why do you have to trying to decide who's right or wrong?
所以如果这个后面这个人不要去跟着他，他就离远一点的，这事也不会发生的，不是吗？不要跟恶人作对，就是这个道理。就你干嘛去跟恶人作对呢？
And so if the rear car would just hang back a little bit, let that person in front just go away, then all would be fine. Why do you have to resist that evil person and be so close to them and then eventually end up in a collision between the two cars?
所以恶人就是什么？恶人是心里起意要害人，恶人就心里起意想要行恶，恶人就是他是一个就是在他周围的人他看不顺眼，他可能就要伤害他，类似这样子，这个恶人。那什么是愚顽的人呢？愚拙人就是说，你看到这个环境，你不会去分辨，不懂得分辨， 这个是好的还是坏的，不晓得去分辨这个时候你是不是应该要离开，啊，这是一个愚笨的人，愚笨嘛，他自己不会去分辨，所以愚拙人是什么？不会分辨。恶人是心中就是有个恶念，他就是会伤害人，他就会攻击人，他就会对你呢，就是你也没有做什么坏事，他就要来惹你啊，这个就恶人。
So an evil person has evil in his heart, has evil intent. He wants to do harm to others. So when he sees that he doesn't like somebody or doesn't approve of somebody's behavior, they want to do evil things, do harm to that person. A foolish person is someone who cannot discern. They can't discern whether something is good or evil, and they just go in it, go at it. Even if it looks dangerous, they still go into the situation.
好，所以以撒的行为是对的，他是会分辨的，他不是软弱，他是顺服之外呢，他是会分辨的。不要跟恶人作对，因为这些非利士人呢，他们是恶人，你跟他作对呢，你也没有什么好处啊。所以以撒他就专心依靠神，他知道神不会亏待他，他就把他的东西让给他们，神给他宽阔，神给他这个什么百倍的啊，这个啊丰富。
And so, from this perspective, we can see that.Isaac is not meek, but rather he is someone who can discern. He's able to discern that, oh, these Philistines, I don't want to mess with them. So he was, and he's also obedient to God. And so he just simply picked up and moved to a different place that God actually gave him.
好，我想我们今天就讲到这里。雅各，我们下一次再讲，因为一次讲太多，你们可能。
So we'll end the sharing here. Next time we'll talk about Jacob, because there's a lot to cover, so I don't want to overwhelm you.
所以我们讲完都会知道，从这些故事呢，从他们的时代跟我们今天的时代，我们怎么样来学习。所以我们要记得一点，分辨是很重要的，顺服加上你在属灵里面有分辨，我们要顺服是绝对，顺服圣灵，圣灵会带领你，会去分辨，你就分辨这个地方，你什么时候应该要这样，什么应该这样，你就知道了。
And so from this, we can see that it's the most important thing is to be obedient to the Holy Spirit. And when you're obedient to the Holy Spirit, it will then give you the wisdom to be able to discern.
好，所以我们从以撒的生活呢，我们从人看他是软弱的，啊，但是从神的角度，从属灵角度，他正是我们要学习的。
And so from the life of Isaac, we can see that from the world's perspective, Isaac seemed meek, but yet from God's perspective, that's exactly who he wanted.
好，所以我们盼望在这个信心的道路上，我们可以在属灵的生命有长进，然后在神的话可以有不同的方式来读，一定要读神的话，因为今天这个世代，你要知道，在网络上充斥着各样的似是而非的东西，如果你不会分辨的话，你的信心可能会慢慢被消磨掉你看越多是危险，所以这是一个。世代非常危险的世代。
So from the road to faith, in order to grow, we must be able to discern, because there are so many different conflicting messages out there on the internet and everywhere else that if you don't have the ability to discern, we will be misled very quickly.
所以我们查考圣经是非常重要，对我们属灵的分辨是非常重要的。
And so to be able to learn from a Bible, to read from a Bible, is very important to our ability to discern.
好，我们有个结束祷告。
Let's have our prayer to end the message.
主，我们感谢你。
Lord, thank you.
你知道我们都是愚拙的人。
And you know that we're all foolish.
你就用这些圣经的故事，好像对小孩子说话一样，让我们可以慢慢的明白一些属灵的道理。
So you use stories from the Bible to teach us the meaning of the lessons we are to learn, the spiritual lesson that we are to learn, just like kids.
就求你圣灵带领我们，保守我们每天的生活。
May the Holy Spirit lead us and guide us and lead us in our daily lives.
祷告奉耶稣基督的名。
We pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.